Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
New year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get 2 snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Did you know that there might actually be some upsides to world hunger?
No, I didn't know that.
You don't. I don't believe you, Josh. I know you're an evil scientist at heart.
I am an evil scientist, although I haven't expanded my evil to this domain, so do enlighten me. I mean,
you've never gone under the pseudonym schemes. Of George Kent?
I've gone under so many pseudonyms, it's difficult to keep track.
Oh, that's fair. Anyway, so this article has been gaining a little bit of notoriety recently. It's an article taken directly from the United Nations website called The Benefits of World Hunger. Now, I have had to get an archive of this article because between yesterday and today, the article has been taken off the website.
I can't possibly see why.
I can't see why either, because at the moment it's showing a 404 page not found. This might have changed by the weekend. And I just wanted to look over this and also examine, in a similar way to how you just examined the mystery, I want to examine the mystery of why this article was written in the first place. Because surely writing about how world hunger actually has some really great upsides, bro, you just need to think about it, is an unusual position to take, and many are confused over whether this is real or satire. And I think we'll find out which one it is by the time we get to the end of this segment. So let's just take a deep dive straight into this article. First off, it just says, "We sometimes talk about hunger in the world as if it were a scourge that all of us wanted to see abolished."
Wait, we don't want hunger abolished?
Not some. Viewing it as incompatible with the plague or AIDS. Viewing it as comparable with the plague or AIDS. I'm not saying that they want to release the plague back onto us. Although, you know, China maybe. But that naive view prevents us from coming to grips with what causes and sustains hunger. Hunger has great positive value to many people. Indeed, it is fundamental to the working of the world's economy. Hungry people are the most productive people, especially when there is need for manual labour.
And any sources for that? I mean,
I don't think there are sources for that. I think that hungry people are probably inefficient labour, from pure economic standpoint. And also, I know the point that you're trying to put across. Does it have to sound so evil?
Yeah, I mean, there are people who could benefit from being hungry. It's fat people. You could have just said that. I mean, that makes way more sense.
This is true. Lizzo, for instance. but what this is obviously sort of trying to hint at is that there are, we should make sure that places that are primarily manual labour focused or job areas that are manual labour focused are employed only by hungry people. And if we want to do that, we need to make sure that they stay hungry.
Is this written by someone who's like the most arch capitalist ever? And they're just like, yes, hungry people, they have the hunger to make money.
I wouldn't say capitalist, I would say neoliberal. This is definitely the neoliberal perspective. I mean, Callum and I have mentioned before that Question Time where the woman goes, well, if we don't import all of the immigrants, who's going to serve me my coffee at Pret? Ugh. Which is the kind of attitude that is behind this kind of thinking, I would say. The kind of, well, if we don't import, if we don't have all of the third world countries be hungry, we won't be able, they won't want to move over here, so we won't be able to import them so that they can clean my toilet. which is the argument that we'll get to in a moment. And we in developed countries sometimes see poor people by the roadside holding up signs saying, we'll work for food. Actually, most people work for food. It's mainly because people need food to survive that they work so hard either in producing food for themselves in subsistence level production or by selling their services to others in exchange for money.
I've never heard something so profound. Who would have thought?
I know. Who would have thought I would die if I don't eat? And if I don't work, I won't be able to eat. Therefore, I must work. Shocking. The logic in it is infallible. How many of us would sell our services if it were not for the threat of hunger, I should say? And I'd say probably plenty, to be honest. There are other desires that human beings have beyond just fulfilling basic subsistence
needs. I don't live for my stomach, funnily enough.
Well, I mean, you live through your stomach when sometimes, you know, that's how you experience food. That's how you experience a lot of the world, so maybe. More importantly, how many of us would sell our services so cheaply if it were not for the threat of hunger? When we sell our services cheaply, we enrich others, those who own the factories, the machines and the lands. And I think this might be a typo, although given the rest of the article, I'm not entirely sure. And ultimately own the people who work for them. I hope that's a typo.
What's this rebranded slavery now?
Yep. I mean, you could make the argument.
You'll be hungry slaves and you will be happy.
Yep.
Even Klaus Schwab isn't this evil.
Well, he's not gone full mask off yet, I imagine. For those who depend on the availability of cheap labour, hunger is the foundation of their wealth. The conventional thinking is that hunger is caused by low-paying jobs. For example, an article reports on Brazil's ethanol slaves, 200,000 migrant sugar cutters who prop up renewable energy boom. That's an article from 2000. While it is true that hunger is caused by low-paying jobs, we need to understand that hunger at the same time causes low-paying jobs to be created. Who would have established massive biofuel production operations in Brazil if they didn't know there were thousands of hungry people desperate enough to take the awful jobs they would offer? Who would build any sort of factory if they did not know that many people would be able to afford to take the jobs at low pay rates? And the article goes on like this, as you would imagine. It's not the longest article, but I'll just read from the final paragraph here. For those of us at the high end of the social ladder, ending hunger globally would be a disaster. If there were no hunger in the world, who would plough the fields? Who would harvest our vegetables? Who would work in the rendering plants? Who would clean our toilets? We would have to produce our own food and clean our own toilets. No wonder people at the high end are not rushing to solve the hunger problem. For many of us, hunger is not a problem, but an asset.
They're implying here that if you're like a farmer, you're only doing it because you're hungry, even though in Britain, normally farmers are pretty well off. I'm sure they have their fill of food. I mean, it's like...
Yeah. I mean, farmers do tend to be doing all right, although at the same time, if you've watched Clarkson's farm...
It's not easy. It's
certainly
difficult
not
work.
Easy, and it's very difficult to make profit from it by the looks of it.
No, I'm not saying they don't deserve their wealth. Quite the opposite.
Yes, but... So this article is putting forward a very, very clear, possibly even the clearest picture that you could imagine of the evil... globalist corporate neo-lib attitude, the idea of we need to get all of our labor as cheap as possible to maximize profits, to make sure that the graphs go up, to make sure that the economy is always booming, and they're going to put forward the most evil methods possible to be able to achieve those ends. And the question that many people are asking, and that some people should be asking, is this satire? Because honestly, it's far too perfect an example of such an evil mindset for me to not just squint my eyes a little bit at it and go, are you sure that this is honest? Are you sure this is how you actually feel? Especially coming from the United Nations website, who are an organization who would probably not want to come across publicly as being so evil. And then there's also the fact that this article is from 2008 and it's only just recently been picked up, meaning that there's obviously a lot of opportunity for people to misinterpret the original intentions of it when you unearth something that at this point in internet years is positively Neolithic. Let's be perfectly honest. So I decided to just do a very quick Google to look into this and see what's going on here. So first of all, the author of that article is George Kent, a man whose latest book is called The Freedom from Want, The Human Right to Adequate Food. And he has other books called things like Ending Hunger Worldwide. So given the title of those sorts of books, this seems to be a little bit out of left field for somebody like this, who seems, more than anything, as far as I can tell from his books, to be a bleeding heart globalist type who wants to wrap the world in socialism, I would imagine, to make sure that nobody ever goes hungry ever again. And I found this article on Climate Depot where they actually speak to him because of the renewed press that this article has been getting. And he makes it very clear. It's not satire, but it's also not supposed to be serious. It's supposed to be, as he said, provocative. So these are quotes from this, straight from him. The essay was first published in the UN Chronicle in 2008 and again in 2009 when the UN Chronicle changed its format. Yes, I wrote that paper, he said. No, it is not satire. I don't see anything funny about it. It is not about advocacy of hunger. I have not encountered anyone else who thought it might be advocacy. I don't think the UN would have published it if they had thought it was satire or advocacy. The purpose of the paper was to highlight the point that the only way to understand the persistence of hunger is to recognise that some people with power benefit from it. This point lit up for me when I was at a conference in India about some sort of assistance programme for poor people, when one person, apparently a farm owner, stood up and argued against that assistance. His explicit concern is that the assistance would reduce his supply of cheap labour. Persistent hunger, George Kent says, is due mainly to the shortage of caring. Kent, in a separate phone call with Climate Depot, said that he now regrets not being clearer that his article was being provocative and he was not advocating for preventing an end to global hunger. So I think, personally, from the way that he's describing it, that the issue is still more complicated than just purely people being evil, although obviously I would say that when you look at the global political establishment right now encouraging mass immigration while starting wars overseas that end up leading through chains of events one way to another to mass immigration coming over here, that there is something to that. But I still think that his idea of it just being because people are evil is a little bit simplistic when hunger is just an intrinsic fact of reality for not just human beings, but for literally everything that could be described as being alive. Despite that, it is actually quite a good article at reflecting the kind of mindset that you would expect from these sorts of global elites and want an excuse to import massive swathes of immigrants. But that is the story of this article. That is the backstory to it. And I hope this has helped clear this up for you and help people to recognize that as mimetic as it is, as hilarious as it is, that the United Nations had now an article called The Benefits of World Hunger, they weren't being entirely serious about it, as much as that does slightly, just a little bit disappoint me.
If you enjoyed that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the Epoch series, this one being on the Anglo-Saxons with Carl and Beau. If you want to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, like, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.